Everybody spends their time, again, because they have to, answering questions. What do you do with kalim that you can't bring to the mikvah? You know, how do you kosher things if you can't do it in some communal way, right? How are you going to do bir chametz? How are you going to get married in sfira? Whatever. These are the questions that we're dealing with. And again, I want to be clear. We're dealing with them because we have to deal with them because we're from Jews, and from Jews, you know, follow halacha. But I worry sometimes that, you know, lost in the shuffle of the specific, you know, can I, can't I, is it Musar, is it Asar, is, you know, the bigger question of, is what we're living through, and what we're living through for sure is defined halachically as an eight tzara, as a time of problems, of trouble, however you want to say it. You know, does that obligate me in a way, not in little yeses or nos, but does that make demands on me, halachic demands on me, that might not exist during other times? And just to use a terrible example, Henry, does everybody have Meyer Makomos, or should I put it on the screen?
Put it on.
I don't have.
Oh, I everybody should have it. I sent it out with the shul.
I have it on the screen. Thanks to Henry.
I'll put it on the screen, but then I can't see. Okay, it's hard, but okay. Let me see if I can.
Yeah, it's fine. Don't do this for me. It's fine.
I don't have Meyer Makomos.
Put in your chat your email, maybe, and I'll send it out.
Hang on, Henry. I can do it. I've gotten so good at the Zoom thing.
Can you record it, by the way?
Huh?
Press record.
No, I can't. You have to do that. One second. Uh-oh.
It says it's recording up in the top corner.
Okay. Good for us. Yeah, hang on. Here we go. I think I could do it. We good?
Excellent. Wow.
Yep.
Okay, so here we go. So let's start with what I think is, you know, one of the least important machlokasim that exists today. The least important as a technical matter, but significant perhaps philosophically. And that is in Simon Tav Chav Tes Sif Bet of Arachayim, the Shulchan Aruch says very clearly, Ein Noflim Al Pnehem B'chol Chodesh Nisan. Right, and that's why everybody loves Nisan so much. There's no tachnon for the whole Nisan. It turns out, you know, the source is a little unclear, but it's, you know, it became the tradition. The Torah quotes it first, and I've never ever heard anybody in my whole life ever suggest that we should say tachnon during Nisan. Just like I never heard anybody suggest that we should say Avinu Malkeinu during Nisan. But then, you know, Rav Moshe Lichtenstein said publicly in yeshiva and other places, that he thinks we're in an Eitz Tzara, and our tefillah has to be different, and he advocated saying Tachnun during Nisan, and saying Avinu Malkeinu as well. And, you know, there's a discussion in Poskim. I think responsible people say yes, responsible people say no. But I want to use that, you know, as a starting point to discuss this whole issue of, if we're living through an Eitz Tzara, and I think it's obvious that we are, does that change certain obligations that we have? Not specific little points, like saying this or saying that, or a kula with respect to kasher and kalim for Pesach, but just us, as from Jews, as ma'aminim, does it demand something of us? So to do that, let's start with some famous sources. You know, it starts with the psukim. Source number two, in Bahaloscha, the Torah says, Vayedevar Hashem al Moshe l'emor, Asei lecha shtei chatzotzot kesef, right? Make two, for lack of a better term, trumpets. Miksha ta'aseh otam v'ayu lecha lemikra ha'idol l'masah ha'machanot. What will you use the trumpets for in the Midbar? You will use them to assemble the people and to let them know when to travel. Okay, by the way, since I can't see anybody anymore, if you have questions, you got to just jump in. But no need to ask if you don't want to. Okay, so the first use of chatzotzot is in the Midbar to gather the people and to let them know when to travel. Second use, Pasuk Chet. U'b'nei Aaron ha-Kohanim, that's it, Pasuk Tet. V'chi tava'u milchama ba'artzichem al atzara tzoreretchem. If there should come to your land a war, Al-Atsar-Atsar-Atsar is like a weird phrase. Maybe we'll come back to it. The enemy that's you know, that's torturing you, that's provoking you. What do you do? You blow the trumpets. Blow the trumpets, cry out to God, and you'll be saved. That's the second use of the Chatzot Zro. Third use is Pasuk Yod. And on your happy days, and on Rosh Chodesh, in the Beit HaMikdash, utekatem b'chatzot zrot, you should blow the trumpets again, al olotechem v'al zivchei shalmechem, in connection with your karbanot, v'hayu lachem l'zikaron lifnei Hashem olokechem, ani Hashem olokechem, and there'll be for you a remembrance in front of God. Okay? So, the Torah in Baal Oscha describes three circumstances in which you blow the trumpet. One, in the Midbar. Let's drop that, because obviously that's not going to apply to us. Two other situations. The first is at a time of war, which is very quickly expanded on in the Sifrei to say not just a time of war, but any tzara. If it's an eight tzara, if it's a communal, national, and maybe even individual of terrible suffering, then you blow the chatzot zrot, but more broadly, you call out to God. And then the last circumstances of Yom Simchatchem, when you bring karbanot on the holidays, maybe on Shabbos, certainly on Rosh Chodesh, you have to blow chatzot zrot in connection with bringing the karbanot. Here, that's what we have in the Psukim. And if we skip to source number three, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, As mitzvah asay nuntes 59 says as follows. What's the mitzvah? He shet sivanu litkoa b'chatzot zrot b'mikdash im hakravat kol karban mikarbanei hamoadim. Ram says the mitzvah is to blow trumpets in the Beit HaMikdash as you bring karbanot on happy days. And he quotes our psukim, and he says it's all described in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah and Tainis. And now I'm skipping down to where the thing is, if you can see it. Second to last full line. V'chein, similarly, anachnu mitzuvim litkoa b'chatzotzrot b'itot hatzorech v'hatzarot. Right? I've cleverly bolded those words so you'd see them more clearly. Says the Rambam, it's not just a mitzvah to blow chatzotzrot in the Beis HaMikdash. We are similarly commanded to blow chatzotzrot at the time of great need. B'itot hatzorech v'hatzarot. When we cry out to God, and that's our pasuk, etc. Okay? So the Rambam puts both psukim from source number two, both pasuk tet, both pasuk tet, and pasuk tet, yom simchatchem muadechem, he puts them in one mitzvah, and the mitzvah is to blow chatzot zrot, to cry out to God at a time of great trouble, and in the Beit HaMikdash at times of great joy. Okay? So I suppose if you don't know anything, you say to yourself, all right, that makes sense as a mitzvah. But many of the commentators, the Magid Mishnah being the first of them in source number four, this is at the beginning of Hilchos Taanios, says as follows, V'ra'iti l'rabbeinu b'sefer mitzvot shelo. He says, and I saw the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvot, that's what we just read. Shemana truazo utkia bishata karbonot b'mitzvah achat v'tamei ani lama. Why is it one mitzvah? Sharei shnei psukim heim bekatuv. Says the Magid Mishnah, I don't get it. Why does the Rambam put two separate mitzvahs in one mitzvah? Namely, there's a mitzvah to blow chatzot zrot be'eit zara. There's a mitzvah to blow chatzot zrot in the Beit HaMikdash when you're bringing karbanot on happy days. Says the Magid Mishnah, hey, that seems like two separate mitzvahs to me. And in fact, it's two separate psukim in the Torah. Why does the Rambam count them together? Okay, so you know where this is heading. And it's heading to a simple thing that most of us, I think the Magid Mishnah must have known. And he answers kind of along those lines. And that is a rule that the Rambam has and that he tells us about in terms of how he compiled 613 mitzvot. Everybody knows, just as a historical aside, the Sefer HaMitzvot wasn't supposed to be a standalone book, right? The Rambam sat down to create his magnum opus, right, the Yara Chazaka, the Mishnah Torah, in which he was going to put the entirety of Torah in one book. And if you can imagine for a second, because it's so amazing, right, the Rambam sat down and he had a blank piece of paper in front of him. And he thought to himself, okay, how do I start? So the Rambam said, you know what? First, I have to compile the 613 mitzvot, and I have to separate them into categories, and that'll be the superstructure in which I can build, you know, a compilation of basically Kol HaTorah Kula. But first, I have to start with the 613 mitzvot. And the Rambam realized, before I start with the 613 mitzvot, I probably need to set out the rules by which I determine if something is counted as a mitzvah or not. And those are the Rambam's 14 Shorashim principles, which he puts in as an introduction to the Sefer HaMitzvot. And principle number 11 in source number 5. It says Sefer Mitzvot La Rambam Shoresh Yud Aleph. Let's read it together, source number 5. He says, Hash Limnot Chelkei HaMitzvot Biprat Chelek Chelek Bifnei Atzmo. He said, you don't count details of a mitzvah as an individual mitzvah, when they really all relate to one override. He says, it's often the case that one mitzvah has multiple parts. Kimo mitzvah lulav, shehi arba aminim. Says the Rambam, like the mitzvah of lulav, right? He doesn't say there are four, but it's interesting that he calls it the mitzvah of lulav. But he says the mitzvah of lulav has four parts to it, right? You have to take a lulav, but to take a lulav by itself is meaningless. You also need an esrog, you also need hadassim, you also need aravos. Says the Rambam, it's true the Torah tells me to take four separate things, but I understand that what it really means is take dalad minim. Right, there's one mitzvah of dalad minim that has four parts to it. And it's a very long shoresh. The Rambam goes through a lot of examples and tries to come up with rules. But presumably, the answer to the question of why the Rambam counts chatzotzrot in the Beit HaMikdash for karbonot and chatzotzrot, crying out to God, eight times one mitzvah, the Rambam would probably say the mitzvah is, you know, v'nizkar tem lifnei Hashem alokechem. The mitzvah is to blow chatzotzrot at particular times. Okay, and it's presented separately in the Torah. You might have thought it's two mitzvot, but presumably the Rambam would say, no, 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 it's really the same mitzvah with two separate applications. The mitzvah is to cry out to God or to blow chatzotzrot. When you do it are two separate times. One is be'eit tzara, and one is be'yom simchatchem u'v'moadechem, on happy days. Okay, and that would have been fine. I think that's an excellent answer, and it's almost similar to what the Rambam thought. But the Chizkuni, in source number 6, makes an even stronger connection. The Chizkuni says the two parts of Chatzotzrot, of Eit Tzara and Yom Simchatchem, are more closely connected. And let's read it together. Source number 6 says the Chizkuni, V'haya lachem lezikaron, it'll be a remembrance for you, Shaharei b'yom simchatchem, Dehainu b'moadechem, right, on holidays, utkatem alolotechem, you'll blow chatzotzrot as you're bringing your karbanot, ukeshetitku vitariu lamilchama, and later on, when you blow chatzotzrot and you cry out to God at a time of war, yizkar lachem zuchut hakarbanot v'noshatem, right? They're not two unrelated instances. Says the Chizkuni, when you need God's help in an Eit Tzara, you'll say to God, you know what? Remember when times were great in the Beit HaMikdash and we brought Karbanot and I blew Chatzotzrot? Now I'm asking you to repay me for that. I'm calling on you, God, to connect the two things together. It's not that different than what we do now, right? We read Parshiyot HaKarbanot, and now that I have more time that I daven b'yichidus, I actually say the fine print, which, to be blunt, I never said before in my life. And the idea is, you know, we're saying these things, we're recalling what used to be done in the Beis HaMikdash, and we're saying to God, could you please make it as if we're doing it now? And says the Chizkuni, in an Eit Tzara, when we cry out to God, we're saying to God, remember that when times were great, when we brought karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, we also brought, you know, we did that, and the zchus of the karbanos should help us. Okay? So again, that's an even stronger argument for why these two sides of the mitzvah chatzotzros should be counted as one mitzvah in the Rambam. But what does it mean about the mitzvah of crying out to God, be'eis tzara? Right? What does that look like, especially at a time where we don't have chatzotzros? So despite the fact that in the Rambam, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, in source number 3, the Rambam seemed to emphasize the mitzvah of chatzotzros in the Beis HaMikdash, and he said, also, you know, there's also a mitzvah of crying out to God, be'eis tzara. When you look at Hilchos Tanios in the Rambam, in the Yad HaChazaka, the mitzvah of crying out to God, be'eis tzara, is primary. It's not surprising that happy times don't appear in Hilchos Tanios, but it really created kind of a whole separate set of obligations in the Rambam. Okay? And if you look in, well, first of all, just as an introduction, I think if you ask most of us, and it's our experience in life, so it's not surprising, you know, why do you fast? So, well, if you ask me about Yom Kippur, I'll tell you fast as a part of the process of tshuva, right? It's obviously a mitzvah in the Torah. But for the most part, most people would say, and it's our experience, I fast because bad things happened in the past, and it helps me to remember them. So I fast on Tzom Gedalia, and I fast on Asar B'Tammuz, and I fast on Shivaso B'Tammuz, and I fast on Tisha B'Av, all because, you know, bad things have happened in the past, and it's what's called Avelos Yishana. It's old mourning. But when I fast, it forces me to remind myself of it and to remember. Okay? But that's not really what Hilchos Tanios is about. Hilchos Tanios is 5 prakim in the Rambam, and you should know that it's only in the 5th parak that the Rambam gets around at all to discussing the historical fasts. It's only the 5th parak. The first 4 prakim are devoted to something completely different, and that is fasts to try to convince God to be good to us. Or said in our context, fasts that are instituted during an 8th tzara. 3 bad times, and you could already see the Rambam in source number 7, the Hakdama, the Kotera, Tilchot Taniyot, right before the Rambam wrote a Sefer, he lists the mitzvot at the beginning. Says the Rambam, Hilchot Taniyot, mitzvat ase achat, vihi lizok lifnei Hashem b'chol eit tzara gidola shalot taval atzibur. Says the Rambam, the mitzvah is to cry out to God during any 8th tzara gidola, during a big time of trouble for the tzibur. Okay, and he continues in the first halacha, Perek Aleph, halacha Aleph, of Hilchos Tanios, the Rambam says, mitzvat ase min haTorah, lizok uleharia b'chatzotrot, al kol tzara shetavah latzibur. To cry out to God and to blow chatzotrot on any trouble that might befall us, shenema, the pasuk we read above, al hatzar hatzorer etchem v'hareyotem b'chatzotrot. Kilomar, says the Rambam, kol davar sheyitzer lachem, anything that, I don't say troubling us, but anything that's a real problem for us, kigon batzoret, famine, v'dever, a plague, right, exactly what we're living through now, v'arben, locus ukiyotzavahem, za'aku alehen v'hariu. Cry out, blow trumpet, and cry out to God. And don't get too stuck on this. It's understood. We haven't had chatzotzros since the Beis HaMikdash, and we've been going through this process anyway. The Mishnayos and Tanios talk about all forms of davening. The mitzvah d'oraisa that we have bizman hazeh is lizok ulahariya al kol tzara shetavah latzibur. We have a mitzvah aser to cry out to God for the troubles that we're facing. Now, how does this change us, or how does this obligate us? So first, kind of to finish the Lumdus, let's go to a very, very famous machloket between the Rambam and the Ramban in source number 9. By way of background, I'll just share this. Everybody knows that the Ram, it's very famous, that the Rambam believes that the mitzvah of tefillah is deoraita every single day. Right? That's mitzvah number hey in the Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Rambam. Right? The Rambam has all kinds of proofs. The details are fascinating because he's not saying that Shachris is deoraita, Mincha's not deoraita, Marv's not deoraita, and if the number of tefillos are not deoraita, and the text is not deoraita. Says the Rambam, there's a biblical commandment once a day to speak to God, to ask something of God, to acknowledge God. That's all the details. But there's a daily mitzvah to daven. And the Rambam has a whole bunch of sources to support his position. And the Ramban, it's in our source number 9. It's the Ramban Hasagot on the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Ramban thinks the Rambam is completely wrong. And says the Ramban, Umashe darshu b'sifrei, that which it says in the Midrash Halacha, le'avdo ze Talmud, davar acher zo tfila. The Rambam quotes as a source for his biblical obligation to pray every day, that it's a drush and a sifrei. It says, u'l'avdo b'chol avachem, le'avdo means davening. So says the Ramban, no, asmach zahi. It's an asma. I don't want to call it a mnemonic, but oftentimes, you know, oftentimes Chazal use a pasuk to support an idea that's not really a mitzvah in the Torah. Says Ramban, praying every day is not mitzvah in the Torah. Omar shemichlal ha'avodah shenilmod Torah v'shenitpalel elav be'et hatzarot. Says Ramban, or it could be, you know, that you're supposed to learn Torah. Or, Ramban starts hinting that there might be a mitzvah to daven be'et hatzaros. B'tihiyena einenu v'libenu elav levado. And that at such times, our hearts and our minds have to be focused on God and only God. Ke'enei avodim al yad adonaihem. Right? That there's supposed to be a feeling that without God's help, we're sunk. Right, without God's help, we can't get out of this. That might be the requirement. If somebody has their audio on, their sound on, and it's making noise, if you could shut it. I wish I knew how to. Maybe there's a way for me to do it. Nah, I can't figure it out. Sorry.
Everyone just mute themselves.
If everybody could mute themselves, that would help. Okay. So the Ramban says, this is not a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven every day. But it could be that be'et sarah, there's a particular responsibility for us to be like avadim in front of an adon, which is presumably, if you're a slave, your only possibility of improving your life is for your master to help you. And now, just as an aside, philosophically, I suppose, I heard Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal talk about this many times. He used to say that 100 years ago, you know, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, he thought it was true that they davened better than us. But he said he didn't think it's because they were more religious than us. He didn't think it's because they learned more Torah than us. He thought that they lived with the sense of vulnerability. That, you know, when my great-grandfather went to work, if he had work, presumably he really, really worried about his children and plagues and diseases and things that could happen. And one of the prices we pay, Bisman Hazeh, for technological advancement, and technological advancement is obviously a blessing, but one of the prices we pay is that we feel less dependent on God. Right? We don't, you know, we say the same words, but we don't really worry about our health the way our grandparents and our great-grandparents worried about their health. And we've lost over time some of our feeling of dependence on God. And it's true, we live in a world, I suppose, you know, since you're a little kid, what you want to be is independent. And Rav Lichtenstein used to make the point that that gets in the way of Avodat Hashem. And it could be that times like this, you know, we're forced, as the Ramban says, to look, to be like Einei Avodim El Yad Adonihem. That in an Eitzarah, we're obligated to realize, in ways that we probably don't other times, how completely and utterly dependent we are on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not because we can't trust science and biology, but at the end, there's somebody behind all of these things. Okay? That was just a philosophic interlude. Let's get back to it. Third line. V'zeh ki inyan shekatuv ar psukim min ba'alotcha, v'chi tavo milchama ba'aretzichem ala tzara tzara etchem v'ariotem v'chatzotzot v'nizkartem l'fnei Hashem l'kechem, v'hi mitzvah al kol tzara v'tzara shetavo ala tzibur, litzok lifanav b'tfila u'bitrua. And that's a separate mitzvah of crying out to God, Be'etzara. And now this is what gets quoted widely in the name of the Ramban, the very end. Ve'im ulai yihyeh medrasham bitfila ikar min ha-Torah, says the Ramban, if you want to claim that the sources that the Rambam quote are real and they apply to tfila, nimne oto b'minyano shel harav, right, we'll allow the Rambam to count it, v'nomar, Shehi mitzvah le'et hatzarot, that there's a biblical obligation to pray during an eight tzara. Shena'amin shehu yitbarach v'yit'aleh shomea tefillah, that God is the source of our salvation. V'hu hamatzil min hatzarot b'tefillah uze'aka, and he's the one who'll save us, and he's the one to whom we should pray. Okay, so first point. The Ramban seems to allow for the possibility that while tefillah on a regular Friday is a drabanan, again, it's not that the Ramban, God forbid, didn't daven or didn't value it, but he said the obligation to pray on a regular Friday is midrabanan. But the obligation to pray on a Friday that's in an eight tzarah, that's a delraita. And the question is why? The question is, why should our relationship with God on a regular Friday be different than our relationship with God is today? And I want to suggest something that it sounds smart to me, so probably I read it someplace. But it's something I believe in deeply. And that is, we'll use a philosophic principle called the law of the excluded middle. Okay, we'll take a case. There's a mitzvah of tzedakah. There's a mitzvah of tzedakah. Everybody knows what it is. So now, I am sitting in my house, all of you are sitting in your houses. Let's assume, it's later in the day for me, let's assume that, as I assume will be the case, nobody's going to come to my door to ask me for tzedakah today. Okay? So the answer is, at the end of the day, I guess I did not fulfill the mitzvah del reis of tzedakah, but since it's not time-bound in any way, I also didn't violate the mitzvah saseh of tzedakah. It just happens to be that I didn't give tzedakah today. It's not a great thing. It's something to brag about. I didn't do the mitzvah. But I also didn't violate the mitzvah because I wasn't obligated. You know, nothing happened that obligated me. But let's say, you know, in 10 minutes, somebody knocks on my door in violation of all the rules. And let's say, in violation of all the rules, I open the door. And he says to me, and I completely believe him, he says to me, I need 50 shekel to buy, you know, challah and wine for my Shabbos meal tonight. You know, I have a family. We don't have anything. And I know it's true. And I have 50 shekel in my pocket. In that instance, it becomes what's called the law of the excluded middle. Either I give him the 50 shekel, and I'm yotzei the mitzvah del raita of tzedakah, or I don't give him the 50 shekel, and I'm in violation, I'm mevatel the mitzvah of tzedakah. Okay, you understand? In most circumstances, I do it, I get a mitzvah. I don't do it, I wasn't mevatel a mitzvah. But in this circumstance, I've lost my choice, because the circumstances are so perfect, it obligates me in this moment, either I do it, and I'm mekayim the mitzvah, or I don't do it, and I'm mevatel the mitzvah. How does this apply to tefillah? It's the same idea. I believe what the Ramban is saying is as follows. Everybody knows the phrase, you know, there are no atheists in a foxhole. right? Which means when your life is on the line, you know, you cry out to God. And I think what the Ramban means is, if my life is on the line, if I'm living in an Eitzarah, and I don't cry out to God, it's as if I'm denying God's existence and or denying God's ability to save me. Right? Because in an Eitzarah, it's do or violate. Because you understand the need. And if at that moment you're unable to cry out to God, it means on some level, sadly, you're rejecting God. And so the Ramban says, in an Eitzarah, there is a mitzvah d'oraita to daven. Now, in a minute, I want to come back to how that obligates us. The simple point I would claim is that the mitzvah d'oraita to daven changes the rules of davening. Just like the Rambam in Hilchos Tanis quotes all the Mishnayos that say, you know, during a famine or during a drought, when they fasted, they said a different Shmona Esrei. They changed the davening. Because it wasn't a regular davening. It was a davening be'etzarah. And I think on the narrow point, you know, saying Tachnun during Nisan, saying Avinu Malkeinu during Nisan, which is in violation, I suppose, of the Minhag, yeah, but the Minhag is for regular times. I want to do something now that makes my davening different. Now, you could say, okay, say more Tehillim, have more Kavana, and all that, you know, I respect all that. I think it makes complete sense. But what if there's something you could do that forces you, you know, you say to yourself, and just to give it away, Tachnun this morning, when I said Avinu Malkeinu this morning, I knew that I was doing something different. And it forced me to focus. And I remember Rav Moshe Lichtenstein made this point when he said it originally. He said, if you're just going to take out a sitter and mumble through Avinu Malkeinu, don't do it. It's in violation of the minhag. You shouldn't do it. If you're just gonna, you know, if you're gonna zip through Tachnun in the usual 25 seconds, don't do it. But if you could bring yourself to focus, if you could understand that you're doing something that's different than the traditional, it's something that no one's done before, something that you've never done before, it ought to move you. And I think that that's out there. And I think that the ability to look at davening and actually do certain things that are different, because the times are different, you know, I think that's meaningful. I find it meaningful for myself. Now, one more point about tefillah, which goes back to Chatzotzros, and I also think it's true. Remember, the two instances in which we blow Chatzotzros and we cry out to God are what I would describe as, you know, the two extremes of human emotion. One is, you know, when there's a war that comes to your land, that's when we're at the bottom, right? We're desperate for God's help. We're miserable. We have no place else to turn. The other side, the other extreme is, right? You're getting married today. You won the lottery. You got the promotion. You had a child. You had a grandchild. Whatever. Something amazing is happening. I think in those two extremes, if I can expand on what we said in the Ramban, if you don't acknowledge God, you know, then he's not part of your life, right? It's true. We live most of our lives on neither extreme. On most days, I'm not in an Eitzarah, and on most days, I have not won the lottery. I live in the middle, okay? And, you know, you live in the middle, that's how it goes. But if you're on one of the extremes, then you have the mitzvah of crying out to God. Once crying out to God for his help, but on the other side, not crying out to God, but praising God, thanking God. And sometimes, you know, those two things come together. Maybe I'm just getting more emotional in my old age or during the times. I just thought, I'll tell you a Rav Lichtenstein story that his son-in-law told at his shloshim. It's very beautiful. He said as follows. One of Rav Aaron's daughters had an incredibly difficult delivery. And, you know, the word went out that both the mother and the baby were at risk. And so he said, my wife and I, you know, went to the hospital. We got there, and in the waiting room, you know, the in-laws and Rav Lichtenstein and his wife, the four of them were in the waiting room, you know, saying Tehillim. And he said, so we joined them saying Tehillim. and doesn't remember how long exactly it took, but at some point, the doctor came in and said, you know, Mazel Tov, baby's fine, mother's fine, you know, Mazel Tov. And he said that every Republican was great. And he just still saying Tehillim. So he thought to himself, well, maybe Rav Aaron was saying Tehillim with Kavanah, so he didn't hear the doctor. So he said, you know, I tugged on his sleeve, and I said, you know, Saba, Abba, Shamata, Hakol Beseder, Mazel Tov. So he said, Rav Lichtenstein said to him, Amarnu Hamon Pirkei Bakasha. Right? We've said a lot of Tehillims begging for God's help. He says, Magia lo kama pirkei hoda'a. God also deserves some Tehillim thanking him. Right? In that 1 minute, he went from great need to great joy. And he felt like in the great joy moment, he should say Tehillim also. Maybe thankful Tehillim, not begging Tehillim. But they both exist. And presumably, you know, the more we could move the two together, the more we feel God's dependence, even on days that are not in the middle of a plague, and the more we feel God's support and God's love, you know, even on a day we didn't win the lottery, the better off we are. Okay, so much for sort of that thread. I want, because we have a tiny bit more time, and frankly, you have nowhere to go either, I want to go back to the Rambam and Hilchos Tanis just to point out something that I think is completely not politically correct, but I think is a result of living in an Eitz Hara. It's a demand that the Rambam makes on us. And go back to source number 8, Perek Aleph Halacha Bet of Hilchot Taniyot. Says the Rambam, crying out to God is not just some shortcut. You know, some Tehillim, some Chatzotos, whatever. He says, V'davar, it is the pathway of repentance. Shebizman shetavot tzara v'yizaku aleha v'yariyu. Because when a terrible time comes and people cry out to God publicly and they blow Chatzot's throat, yede'u hakol shebiglal ma'asehem haraim hora lahem. Says the Rambam, when you cry out to God, you don't cry out to God and say, listen, I don't know why you're doing this, God, you know, but I'd like you to fix it. He says, the way you do it is to say, God, you're doing it for a reason. V'zehu sheyigrom lahem lahasir hatzara me'alehem. It's not just that you're doing it for a reason. I'll put in what's missing in the words of the Rambam, but it's certainly the case. It's our fault. God, we're crying out to you, and we're asking you for help because we understand that what's going on now is not a coincidence and not happenstance. You're doing it to us, and therefore we need to do tshuva. And it gets more offensive, if you will, in Halacha Gimel. Avalim lo yizaku v'lo yariyu. But if something terrible happens and you don't change your behavior and you don't realize that you're living in an Eitz Hara, Ela Yomru, Davar Ze Mimin Hag Ha'olam Ira Lanu. No, this stuff happens. You know, once a century, this stuff happens. Vitzarazo Nikro Nikreit. Bad things happen. Says the Rambam, Harezo Derech Achzariut. It's arrogance, I suppose. And what it causes is, it causes us to kind of double down and to say, the way we're living, the way we're behaving, our values, all the things like that, they're fine. Okay, stuff happens. But, you know, we're okay. Says the Rambam, that makes it worse. V'tosif hatzarot sarot achirot. If we deny responsibility for what's going on, says the Rambam, God's going to make it worse. Hu shekatuv batra v'halachtem imi b'keri, v'halachti imachem b'chamas keri. If you relate to me as if everything is a coincidence, then I'll bring you more coincidences. And it'll get worse. Kilomar, ki she'avi aleichem tzara, kidei she'tashuvu im tamrushi hu keri, osif lahem chamat oto keri. Says the Rambam, God says, Ki'ilu, when I want to send you a message, when I bring a tragedy and I want to send you a message, if you reject that message, if you say, well, look, this stuff happens, it'll make God Ki'ilu angrier, God forbid. It'll make the situation worse. Now, why are we uncomfortable with this? And I'm included in that. Because who are we to blame other people? But I don't think that's what the Rambam means. Right? I think it's wrong to say, I know why God brought this plague to the world, and it's because these people do this or these people do that, you know, and there's, we could quote many, many suggestions for why bad things happen in the world. I think what the Rambam is saying is no. The way you do it is to say God is sending a message and he's unhappy with something, and that has to start first and foremost with me. I personally have to feel responsible for what's going on. And I have to ask myself, right, am I living life the way God wants me to live it? Are the values that I have reflective of the values that I really believe God wants of me? Right? I think we're supposed to take it personally. I really do. And if we take it personally, then we can do all the things obligated in an Eitz Hara. Then we can do tshuva. Then we can cry out to God. Then we can daven things that you shouldn't normally daven and do things that we wouldn't normally do, because it's a different world. But I think the only way we get to do that is if we start with ourselves. If we realize, as I think has to be the case, that what's going on now in the world is my fault. Okay, my fault, and maybe a million and maybe a billion other people. But my fault as much as anybody else's. The Rambam says, that's where Eitz Hara starts. It doesn't start with exactly what are the rules of Pesach have to be this year and what's different. Of course we have to do all of that. That's who we are. We're firm Jews. But at core, it starts with a questioning of our values, individually and otherwise. Are we doing enough? Can we be trying harder? And I know it's, I'm saying things I shouldn't say. I don't even know that it has to do with Staka, Beinon Lechaveiro, all of these things are really nice and really important. But maybe at core, just has to do with God, right? Is God enough of a part of my life? Do I think about what God wants of me, you know, every day, multiple times a day? I don't know. That's the sense I get from the Rambam. I don't know enough to say it for sure. But let's end with the question we started with. The whole idea of saying Tachnun in Nisan when it seems obvious that you're not supposed to. And here, all I want to do is quickly look at Psukim and make you aware of something that I'm pretty sure you're aware of already. Tachnun itself is, of course, I think it's Perek Zayin of Tehillim. But it starts with a Pasuk in Shmuel Bet, Pasuk Chaf Dalet, where I've just moved the cursor. Vayomer David El Gad, Tsar Li Ma'od. Right, David says to the Navi, God, Sarli Ma'od, I'm in great pain, it's pressuring me. Nipla na biyad Hashem, I want to fall into the hands of God, ki rabim rachamav, because his mercy is abundant. V'rachamav uviyad adam alepola. But don't let me fall into the hands of my enemies, of a human being, who may not have mercy on me. What's the background?
Capital Vav.
Excuse me?
Perek Vav.
No? Oh, it's the last Perek in Shmuel Bet. No, it's not Chaf Dalet.
I'm talking about the hill.
Okay, Vav. I said Zion. Okay. Thank you. But now this is the very last Perek of Shmuel Bet. Let's start at the beginning. Pasuk Bet. Vayomer Hamelech al Yoav Sarachayil Asher Ito Shutna Bechol Shivtei Yisrael Midon Va'ad Be'er Sheva U'pikdu et ha'am v'yadati et mispar ha'am. David HaMelech says to Yoav, his chief of staff, take a census. Now Yoav, like the rest of us, knows that that's an Isser Doraisa. You're not allowed to count the Jewish people, and certainly for no reason, and certainly not directly. Forget all the details. The background is God got David HaMelech to sin, but it doesn't matter. Vayomer Yoav el HaMelech, v'yosef Hashem elokecha el ha'am kahen v'kahen me'a pa'amim. Yoav says, David, we have tons of people and a strong army. Don't count them. You don't need to count them. But David does it anyway. Pasuk Yud. Vayach Lev David Oto Acharei Kein Sefar Et Ha'am. After David counted the people, he realized that he had sinned. And here's the I think the most important pasuk. Vayomer Hashem, Vayomer David al Hashem, Chatati Meod Asher Asiti. David HaMelech says on his own, God, I'm so sorry. It was a horrible mistake. David HaMelech starts the tshuva process. Chatati Bar Asher Asiti, Va'ato Hashem Ha'aver No At Avon Avdecha Ki Niskalti Meod. What I did was terrible. I acknowledge it. It's my fault. You know, God, please forgive me. Sorry.
Bless you.
Thank you. Vayakam David baboker dvar Hashem haya el Gad Hanavi Chozer David lemor. David gets up in the morning. God has already appeared to Gad Hanavi and told him, Haloch v'dibata el David, ko amar Hashem, Shalosh anochi notel alecha, Bechar lecha achat mehem ve'e'eselach. It's very strange. Don't ask me to explain. Basically, the Navi tells David HaMelech, you're going to be punished. Here are your three choices. You pick which punishment you want. And then there's the pasuk that we know. I skipped the part where they lay out the punishment, but they have to do with falling into, you know, being, going to war with other nations. And in pasuk Yudalad, our pasuk, Vayomer David el God, Tsar li Meod, I'm in pain, right? My choice is as follows. Nipla na biyad Hashem. I choose the punishment that's going to come directly from God, because Rabim Rachamav, because God has great mercy, uviyad adam alapola. Now what happens? Vayitain Hashem dever bi Yisrael mehaboker va'ad eit moed, vayamat min ha'am midan va'ad be'er shivim elaf ish. Okay? David HaMelech basically says, I choose to be punished directly from God, and God brings a plague that kills 70,000. Okay, then I skip some. So, Yuchet, Vayavo, God El David, Vayomahu, Vayomer Lo, but then God stops the plague. Vayomer Lo, Ale, Hakem, Lashem, Mizbach, Begoren, Aravno, Hayivusi. Okay, I won't ask you, but everybody knows. He says, go build a Mizbeach in a goren, in the threshing floor of a guy named Aravna, who's a Yevusi. Okay, the place where David HaMelech was going now with God is a place that we know of as Har HaBayis. It's the Makom HaMikdash. Vayom HaMelech al Aravna. Oh, so I'm skipping a little bit. So David comes and he tells Aravna, I want your field, and Aravna says, take it. Vayom HaMelech al Aravna, lo, I'm not taking it for free. Ki kano ekne me'otecha b'mechir. V'lo a'alel Hashem aloka olot chinam, right? David says, I'm not bringing karbonos to God, you know, because you gave it to me for free. I want to buy it. Vayiken David et hagoren ve'et habakar b'chesef shkalim chamishim. And David HaMelech pays full price for the animals and for the field. Here's the last pasuk in the Sefer. Vayiven sham David mizbeach Hashem, vayal olot ushlamim, Vayeater Hashem la'aretz, vateotzar hamagefa me'al Yisrael. Okay, David brings karbonot, and the plague is ended. So there are two ways to read this. One way to read it is David brought karbonot, and that's what stopped the famine. I don't think that that's the right way to read it. I think what stopped the famine was David HaMelech saying chatasi ma'od. It's my fault. I'm wrong. Okay? Then God entered into discussions with him, and on top of David HaMelech doing tshuva, he brought karbanos, and that's what stopped the plague. But without the tshuva, the karbanos wouldn't really matter. And I think it's the same thing for us. On the one hand, I guess I'm advocating, you know, saying different things and doing different things, but not because I think the actions matter. It's because what's behind it. If you do it for the proper motivation, if it really means something to you, if it's done as the Rambam demanded, you know, in conjunction with like self-introspection, then it's meaningful. And then we'll get somewhere. But if it's just done as an action, if you're just saying Avinu Malkeinu, if you're just saying Tachnun, you know, there's no reason to think it'll be that beneficial. And so when I say Tachnun now, I really, the pasuk I have the most kavana for is the first pasuk, right? Vayomer David el God Tsar li Meod, to understand, A, that he faced what we face, and that the way out of it, the way out of it is to do real tshuva and to do real introspection, to ask yourself the hard questions about our relationships with God. But the second part, and I think without any hope, it's hard to get by. The second part is David HaMelech walked from this plague to buy the Makom HaMikdash. Right? It didn't take 1,000 more years. It didn't take 100 more years. We could go from Eit Tzara to Biyom Simchatchem as quickly as God wants it. It doesn't have to take forever. I just think in the end, we have to acknowledge that we are Be'eit Tzara. We have to do the things that God willing will get us out of the Eit Tzara. And then, not in 10 years or not in 5 years, but soon, we can walk to the Goren Aravna, which is now the Makom HaMikdash, right? A place that's completely barren now, the saddest picture. No one at the Kotel, you know? We don't have to wait forever. And so, I'm sorry if I pontificated too much or more than usual, but, you know, we live in these times. Just to sort of wrap up quickly, we started with this idea of not saying Tachlin and Nisan. We looked at the mitzvah of Chatzotros, which is the source of the idea of crying out to God, both Biyom Simchatchem and Ki Tavo Milchama in an Eit Tzara. We saw the Rambam counts them both as one mitzvah. Why? Because they basically share the same idea, right? That's the Chizkuni, that we remind God of the Karbanos when we're at a terrible time. That led us to the Ramban's idea that Tfila Be'eit Tzara is the Oraita. That led us back to the Rambam's idea in Hilchos Tanios that we have a special mitzvah to cry out to God, and that requires tshuva and introspection. And we saw that in the end, in the last parak of Shmuel Bet, where it happens to David HaMelech, where he cries out directly to God and repents, and God rewards us with the Beis HaMikdash. It's always a... Everybody is Shabbat Shalom, and if Ellie. This is it for Pesach, Chag Kasher V'Sameach.
I appreciate your being a maverick, but do you also say Avinu Malkeinu?
Yes, I do.